Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
The Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning ready to pour out all of our praise to you. We lift you up. We give you the loudest praise, the highest praise, because you are the name. You are the name above every name. And so we ask that you be with Brother Cal this morning as he brings the word to us. Open our hearts that we may be changed by what we hear today. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said,
amen. 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 Please be seated. My, what a great crowd today. Last two Sundays been overflow crowd. And you guests and visitors, all we want from you is to fill out a guest and visitor card. And those of you that are visitors on the front row, just turn around. Members on the second row, give them a visitor's card, all right? And put that a little bit later in the service, we'll ask you to tear that card off and put it in our offering. In our offering buckets, and that way we'll have a record of your visit. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say, this is the day,
the Lord has made.
I will be glad and rejoice in it. I think it's I will rejoice and be glad in it. My bad. We're glad today. Now, everybody notify your face that you're glad. All right? Very good. Much better. Now, for those of you that are just first-time visitors or second-time visitors, our theme for this year, we're looking at a spiritual, this is 2025, this is our seventh year of existence as a church. And so the number seven in the Bible is very, very significant. It's very special. And so we've been moving through some areas and issues of spiritual breakthrough. And our theme verse for the year is Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you. Y'all go home and learn that verse. It's time. It's August. Come on. And so we're seeing God do some great things amongst us, and we're seeing breakthrough after breakthrough. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the spiritual breakthrough for our families. We talked last week, wouldn't it be wonderful to see God send revival to our homes? Wouldn't it be awesome to see a move of God amongst our families, to see homes rebuilt and relationships restored? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And as we learned last week, so goes the home, so goes the nation. So goes the family, so goes the nation. And you know what? The evil one knows that truth. And so he's going to do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy your family. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to let him. Now, I've gathered a few statistics just to tell you it is time we admit something's wrong in the family. It's time we admitted something's wrong. The divorce rate still hovers around 50%. And what you may not know is that now 30% of our families are single parent families. 30%. And you single moms and dads, I want you to know I love y'all and I admire you. I do not know how you do what you do as a single parent. That's an amazing, amazing thing. And we're here to help you. We're here to support you. We're here to bless you and pray for you, okay? But having said that, did y'all know I found out this week, last year, 2024, there was 560,000 confirmed cases of child abuse and child neglect. And 76% of those cases were committed by the parents against the children. There's something wrong, folks. Over 300,000 children this year will be sex trafficked. 1 out of 4 young girls will be sexually abused. 1 out of 6, something like that, young boys will be sexually abused. We need revival in our homes. We need for God to move. We need a spiritual breakthrough in our families. Are y'all ready for the scripture?
Yes.
Can you stand one more time as we honor God's word? We're in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. You got it?
Yes, sir.
All right, verse 18. Now, girls, don't get the tomatoes out. Throw your high heels and everything. We're going to unpack this, okay? Let me just read it. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Isn't that a great word from the scriptures? We need to hear what the Bible has to say about how to have a godly family. And so this morning we're going to look at the husband-wife relationship. We're going to look at the parent-child relationship. Are you ready? How many of you want to hear from heaven today? You've already heard from heaven. We just read it. Amen? So, Greg Lee, ask God to bless the word this morning, would you? Amen. Please be seated. Now, husband-wife relationship. We're going to start off with the ladies because that's who Paul starts out with. Now, verse 18 is the verse that causes people to break out in hives all over. And in our society, we see submission as not a really good word. We Americans don't want to submit to anybody or anything, right? I mean, after all, don't we just kind of pull ourselves up and we got these big shut? No. We first of all need to learn how to submit to God. And ladies, that's the key. Now, submission has nothing to do with slavery, has nothing to do with inequality, has nothing to do with lack of intelligence or personality. The word is really a military term. And it means to arrange under rank, okay? And so what the Word of God's telling us is that God has a special role or function for everybody in the family. Everybody.
Right.
And you see this all across our society, right?
Right?
I mean, the banks have presidents and tellers, right? And corporations have CEOs, and then folks fall under that. Now, I'm not an army brat, but I mean, you got generals and colonels, right? And then you got what? Captains? Help me, majors? What's after that? What about lieutenants and sergeants and privates? Is a general a better man than a private? No, has nothing to do with somebody being unequal to somebody else. Employers, everybody in here's got a boss if you're employed, or maybe you're the boss. You see that in the schools. We got principals and teachers and faculty and then students. You see it on the athletic teams. You got owners, general managers, and coaches and players. So you see this all the time, and parents, wives, and guys, we need to learn that God has a role, a function for us to play in the family. And God has ordained that the man be the spiritual head of the family. In other words, he's the spiritual leader. Girls, listen to your pastor. His pants don't fit you. They just don't. And so he's in that spiritual role of leadership, but it's not a dictatorship, amen? I mean, guys, your wife is not your doormat. She's not a dish rag. She's special. And by the way, guys, let me just say this. You need to get some counsel from time to time from your wife before you make some kind of spiritual decision for your family. Listen, I love what Ephesians says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And so it just kind of falls down under that rank, okay? I don't have a better word for that, but we don't treat our women as second-class citizens. She's just, everything's equal at the foot of the cross. And by the way, did you see what, I love this. Guys, now listen to this. Ephesians 3. Well, I'm in Philippians. No wonder that doesn't work. Help me, Jesus. Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So, guys, there are times when we submit to our wives. We need to hear what they've got to say. By the way, fellas, she's thinking out of both sides of her brain. We're just thinking out of one side. And they've got, girls have radar. You can't, I mean, they can see things and feel things and that we just don't get, right? And so we submit to one another, but girls, it is to your fulfillment. If you've got a Christ-loving, if you've got a godly husband, it'll bless your socks off if you'll just learn how to follow his leadership. And you be there for him to help him. It's to your best interest that you do that. And by the way, it'll help fulfill him as a man that God's called him to be. And so the way you submit to your husband is, first of all, submitting to Christ. See? Ephesians 5 talks about that as well. Let me just illustrate. Now, forgive me, but this is an illustration out of Coach Nick Saban's playbook, okay? A few years ago, he had his 50th high school reunion. Coach Saban, he's from Monongah, West Virginia, Donna. I have no idea where that is, but it's in West Virginia. And so he and his wife, he calls his wife Miss Terry. And so they decided to go home for his 50th high school reunion, and he was the star quarterback his senior year down there, and they won the state championship. And so as they fly into West Virginia, then they rent a car, and they begin driving through Monongah. Bless God, city limits. I'm thinking about a song anyways. And so they get into town, and all of a sudden, Coach Saban notices a gas station, and the name of the gas station was one of Miss Terry's former boyfriends. And he looks over at his wife and he says, Miss Terry, if you had married him, you'd be the owner of a gas station. And bless God, she looked at him and said, if he'd married me, he'd be the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. That's what I'm talking about, ladies. If you'll get behind him and follow his leadership, and I mean get behind him and scotch him and support him, you'll help him to become the man God's calling him to be in your family, and your family will be the better for it. Somebody shout amen. And then Paul moves quickly to the guys, to the men. Guys, are y'all ready for this? Watch this now. Don't check out on me. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Now, let me go back to Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Wow. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And then jump down to verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. The primary responsibility for love in the home falls squarely on the shoulders of that man. Now we know, ladies, you're a nurturer. You're a lover. You're going to love your family. You're a nester. We get that. But the primary responsibility for love in the home falls on the man in that family. Say amen, ladies.
Amen.
Now gig him like this one time. All right. Now, here's the deal. There's three words in the Greek language for love. One is eros, a sexual love. Number two is phileo, which is a brotherly type of love. Philadelphia. And then the third one is agape, which is a Christ-like, unconditional, sacrificial type of love. And that's the type of love Jesus has for his bride. And that's the kind of love that a husband ought to have for his wife. Man, I thought surely some girl would jump up in here today and start running all over the building. We husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. He put the needs of the church above his bride, above his own needs. He put her welfare and her happiness above his welfare and his happiness. He had a sacrificial, unconditional. How many of you know, what's Dwight's favorite song? Jesus loves me and there ain't a thing you can do about it. That's unconditional love. And he laid down his life for us. And guys, we need to be willing to lay down our lives for. Now, y'all, I want to tell you, I'm preaching to myself today because I fall far short on a lot of this stuff. But love in my home falls on my shoulders. And you know what? I can produce that kind of love. You know how? Because I have the Spirit of God in me. And as I submit to Him, and then I'm able to love everybody in the family. And so I heard about a husband who had died, and he's standing there at the gates. Now, y'all know some of these preacher stories are apocryphal, right? But he's standing there at the gates, and St. Peter there is on the other side of the pearly gate. And he said, "Sir, can I help you?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I've died." And he said, "I want to get into heaven. What have I got to do to get into heaven?" And St. Peter said, "Well, how good of a speller are you?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I'm not a very good speller." He said, "What is it I've got to spell?" He said, "All you got to do is spell the word sin." He said, "Thank God, S-I-N. And St. Peter said, "Come on in." And so just about the time that he got on in, St. Peter said, "Could you just stay here at the gate for just a minute? Just stay here at the pearly gate for just, I've got to go run an errand for the Lord. And if anybody shows up, just get them to spell sin and then invite them on into heaven." And so he said, "Sure, I can do that." Well, in the next minute, guess who shows up at the gate? His wife. And he looks at his wife and says, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "Well, honey, I just couldn't stand it. I just wanted to be with you forever in heaven. I've missed you so bad. What have I got to do to get into heaven?" He said, "Well, you got to be able to spell something for me." And she said, "Okay, good. I'm a good speller. What do I have to spell?" He said, "Spell Czechoslovakia." That's not what I call loving your wife. And then Paul adds, "Don't be bitter toward your wife." A root of bitterness in a home can just tear the home all to pieces. Husbands, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let that happen. Be open and honest with your wife. You know, most men don't like conflict in the home because that's what they deal with all day long. Come on, guys, say amen. I mean, that's what we deal with all day. And then you sure don't want to have to put up with it when you get home. But you know, she wants to work it all out and talk it all out. And guys, you know, address conflict either fight or flee. Fight or flee, it's one of the two. No in between, you know. And so remember this, guys. Criticism, defensiveness, and withdrawal leads to separation and eventually divorce. On the other hand, compassion, gentleness, kindness, understanding, and patience leads to a successful marriage. And so that's how we love people, unconditionally, sacrificially, especially our wives. And we get the power to do that from the very Spirit of God that lives in us. And so that's the husband-wife relationship. Isn't the Bible great? I mean, it's the best self-help book, bar none. Are y'all enjoying this?
Yes.
Some of you are single and you like it so much you're ready to go out here and find you a mate, right? All right. Let's look at the parent-child relationship. Time's getting away. Look again at verse 20 there in Colossians chapter 3. Children. How many children we got with us? Here's a couple. Here's another one. Here's one. Over here. Right here. All over here. Right in here. Boy, we got a plethora of kids over here. Who's your daddy? All right. And we got kids over here. Kids, I got a word for you from the scriptures. Y'all listen up. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, mom and dad, you may not know this, but the greatest child psychology book is this book right here.
Amen.
It is. And so I would encourage you. I fell short on this in my family, but I made up for it a lot with Isaac. But you ought to have a time in your home once a week, twice a week, where you just sit down with everybody in the family and you open up the Bible. I'm not talking about reading 10 chapters of Ezekiel or reading half the book of Numbers. But what I am talking about is sitting down with your family and looking at a small passage of Scripture and give an explanation and then apply it to your family and to your life and then spend some time praying. If you'll do that, it will help your family tremendously. And so the Bible gives some real specific instructions on the relationship between parents and children. And first of all, disobedient children are a disgrace to their parents. The book of Proverbs says that over and over and over again. Disobedient children are a disgrace to their parents. Now, children have rights. Hello? Children have rights. They have the right to life. They have the right to be raised in a godly Christian home. They have the right to be loved and treated with respect and admiration. But children have some responsibilities. First and foremost, they're to obey their parents. And you know what? Let me just check this out. Kids, listen to this. This is over in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, you don't have to obey them if they're asking you to do something immoral, illegal, or unscriptural. But the rest of the time, you just say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and you do it. Why? He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. How many of your parents' kids have told you, I brought you into this world and I can... Obey your parents, for this is right with the Lord. It makes Him smile. It makes Him happy. And so, do you remember Jesus grew up in a home? He had brothers and sisters, and He obeyed His mom and dad. He was an obedient child. And the Scripture tells us that at His baptism, at the Lord's baptism, remember what His Heavenly Father said? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, kids, when we're obedient to mom and dad, it pleases God. It puts a smile on His face, and you want to see that happen. Now, look back in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, says, fathers. Now, that word fathers in some other areas in the Scriptures can be translated as parents, okay? Parents, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. And, you know, parents ought to make it easy as possible for their kids to obey them. Provoke not your children is a commandment to the parents. And there was a Gallup poll taken several years ago, and there was a question asked of some teenagers, and the question was simply this: What's the most important thing to you in your life? You know what they said? The majority of them said, to have a good family. It's important to them. Now, the word discouraged there means to be crushed in spirit. Parents, we're to encourage our kids. We're not to discourage them. We're not to berate them and tell them how bad they're doing all the time. And you're not to be on them like a cheap suit all the time. You need to give them a break from time. And, you know, I'm guilty on this. My boy Isaac, smart kid, great, good student. But you know, I found myself when he was in high school bringing home 4 or 5 A's and 1 B. And you know what I said? What's up with the B? Well, Dad, what about the 5 A's? You know? And so that's what I'm talking about there. We're to encourage our kids. We're to be a blessing for them. And we're to respect them. And by the way, if your kids don't get the respect they need and deserve at home, guess what they're going to do? They're going to look for it elsewhere, and you do not want that to happen. Am I right about it? And if you hadn't gotten anything else, get this. Our children, I love this. I don't know who wrote it, but it's good. And you might want to get a pen out and a piece of paper. Our children need a loving heart, a watchful eye, a listening ear, and a praying knee. Isn't that good? What would happen if parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles had a loving heart for their kids? They had a watchful eye and a listening ear when they needed to talk, and a praying knee. My, my, my. Well, you can be everything that you need to be, kids, because the Lord's with you. He's with you. One of the things I love to hear is our children pray. How many of y'all ever heard our kids pray? The rest of you need to get out of the house a little bit more. I love to hear our kids pray. And I want to tell you, they've got a direct line to heaven. TP, am I right? I mean, the answered prayers, we post those every Wednesday up in here. And it is amazing what they're praying about and the things that they're praying for. And God's answering prayers for them. Amen? And so what we've talked about is how to have a godly home. I hope this has helped you. If it's helped you, say amen. Amen. If it hadn't helped you, say, oh me. True story, I'll close with this. There's a pastor, I think he's just retired. Dr. Mike Whitson over in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he got a call early one morning from the police station. And they said, Pastor Whitson, could you go and visit with a family and minister to a family that just had a tremendous tragedy happen? And this couple had a young 20-year-old son who at 3 a.m. was traveling in his Mustang convertible at a speed of 100 miles an hour. And the car veered off the road, hit a tree, and tragically, he passed away. And so Dr. Whitson said, yes, give me the address and I'll go right to their house. And so he gets over there, and of course, as you can well guess, the mother and father are just devastated. And so he began to pray with them and try to console them and that kind of thing. And then he looked up and he said, now, one or both of you can go down to the emergency room with me and identify your son if you'd like to go. And the mother said, I just want to remember him the way that he was. And the father said, oh, I'll go with you. And so this broken-hearted daddy climbed in the car with Pastor Whitson. They drove to the emergency room, got out, and the father bolted through the emergency room doors and went back to where the broken body of his son was and laid on top of his son and said, God, please give him 5 more minutes with me. I never told him I loved him. And he began to pray that over and over and over again. And so finally, after a while, They got back in the car, and the father and Pastor Whitson got back home. And the mother is still just there, and she's still devastated. And so he's praying for her again, and she puts her hands on his shoulders and said, "Pastor, please pray my boy out of hell." He said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "The church right down the street has been here time and time again and invited him to come." She said, "I've never taken him to church. I've never taken him to Bible study or Sunday school. I've never taken him to vacation Bible school. And I've never told him about Jesus. Oh, please, pray my boy out of hell." And they were, and Pastor Whitson said, "I really didn't have the words that they needed for me to say." But he said the comfort of the Holy Spirit eventually helped them and got them through that time. But brothers and sisters, the time to come to Jesus is right now. If you want the kind of family that you desire, you need to first of all give your life to Jesus. Don't wait until it's too late. After somebody's gone, it's too late to tell them you love them. After somebody's gone, it's too late to share Jesus with them. And today, right now, I want to invite all of you to invite Jesus Christ, if you have not done so, into your heart and into your home. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's what you need to do. The Bible is straight out of the Bible. If you'd be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ, make a spiritual U-turn and turn to Christ by faith and surrender everything you are to everything that He is as your only means of salvation and ask Him to be your Lord, He'll receive you and become your Savior as well. But you need to do that. And God's not necessarily just all tore up and concerned about the words you pray. He's looking at that right there. And if you want your home to be a place of peace and harmony and unity, a place where God dwells, then it needs to begin with you, parents. You need to have a relationship with Christ. And you, kids, you listen to your pastor. There's coming a time. For some of you, God's working on some of you right now. My little girl Paige, she was coming in to tell me when she was barely 4 years old, "Daddy, I need to be saved." And we just kept putting that off and putting that off because I didn't think she understood what she was doing and knew enough and all that stuff. But you know what Jesus said? He said, "You let the children come to me." And one night, it was about midnight, she jumped up and came into our room and climbed up into the bed. And she said, "Daddy, it's time for me to ask Jesus into my heart." And right then I said, "Okay, Lord." And so Diane and I led her in a prayer and she received Jesus Christ. And then she was baptized out at First Baptist Woodlawn. I want to tell you, kids, if God's working on your heart, you need to understand what sin is. And if you understand what sin is and you're under conviction about it, that's the Holy Spirit working on you. And you can come to Him by faith today if you're willing to do that. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to have a hymn of response. And it'll be time for you to respond. Lord, my heart goes out to everybody in this room today. I want every home in our church to be a godly, Christ-honoring home. And it all starts at the top. And so, God, fill us with Your Spirit. Help us to be the men and women that You've called us to be. Help us, Father, to do what You want us to do. And for some of us, that means receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. And for others who are already born again and saved, that just means bringing their family to Jesus right here at this altar. coming to them in prayer and asking God to save souls and change lives and homes. Father, this is your time, not mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here and you've prayed to receive Christ, we want to ask you to come forward. We want to help you get started right. And if you've got a son or a daughter or a wayward son or a wayward daughter, if you've got somebody that you're really concerned about in your family, maybe your family just needs Jesus, I want you to come and pray. There's power in that. We'll pray over you. Father, we need you desperately. You're the one that we call on this morning. Oh, God, meet all of our needs. Minister life where we need life. God, help us, just help our yes to be yes. Help us all to be obedient. Thank you, Lord, for this season of prayer. And thank you for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. It's offering time, but before we give our tithes, I want to tell you about an offering opportunity that all of you have. How many of you know Emma Smith? Emma, come on up here. How about that prosthetic? It's looking good. All right. She's our miracle child here. She shouldn't be here with us, but bless God, because of His healing hand, she's with us today. And she has a mission opportunity that I wanted to share with the church. And so just tell us what's going on with that, sister.
My mom also wanted me to give my testimony this morning, so I'm going to start with that.
You got 5 minutes.
I got it. Don't worry. I got it. We're good. Throughout my childhood, my mental health was very unstable, and I sought worldly solutions to my problems deep down, and I couldn't see straight, and my mind was fuzzy. It was not until about a year ago that I started to attend my college ministry at my church in Cookeville, and that's when I began to rely on the Word for the solutions to my problems. And I was primarily reading the book of Psalms while I healed mentally. And the verse, Psalm 147, verse 3, it stood out to me. It states, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And I love that verse so much that I put it in the back of my phone case. And I started to ask God questions like, "What do you want to do with my life? Where do you want to take me?" And on April 1st of 2025, I heard that answer distinctly when I was in a motorcycle accident. I remember lying on the sidewalk and I was terrified. I knew what had happened, but I didn't know what was happening. My body was completely numb, but I had music playing in my headset, and it was the same song on repeat. It was the worship song, "Who Else?" And when the bridge of that song started to play, I was able to collect my thoughts, and I just began to repeat, "God, help me, please." I was knocked out in the ambulance and was life-flighted to Vanderbilt, where they did many long surgeries on me. And I didn't wake up until that evening, but whenever I woke up, I had no idea where I was. I didn't know the extent of my injuries. And there was a nurse who came up to me. She told me that I was at Vanderbilt. And she asked me if I wanted to know what my injuries were. And I said yes. She told me that my ankle was shattered and crushed, so much so that the surgeon spent hours trying to save it, but they couldn't, and they had to amputate my foot. And hearing that sentence, it broke me. I was distraught. I had a ventilator down my throat, so I couldn't speak, couldn't even really cry, and it was very, very hard. But I began to think of Psalm 147, verse 3, and I put my faith in the fact that God would bind up my wounds, and He did just that. I just want to say thank you to everyone that has supported me through prayer and my healing. But in my healing journey, I learned that this was all a part of God's plan, and that's what He wanted to do with my life. And though I can't see the bigger picture yet, I know that God wants me to spread the gospel through my testimony. And my church in Cookeville has been doing mission trips for years. And they've been sending teams across the world to work with church planners. And each time, God has used the teams to reach the surrounding communities with the gospel. And this year, a team is going to Oahu in Hawaii to work with the church planner in the city of Kaneohe. And our church planner will be bringing children from the surrounding impoverished communities of the island. And I'm excited to be a part of this team from October 4th to October 14th of this year. And I know that Hawaii may seem glamorous, but our team will be meeting the material and spiritual needs of the island's most impoverished communities. And we are all poor without Christ, our greatest treasure, and we all made rich by his goodness. The primary goal of this mission trip is to work with the local church and have a camp where we can reach the children and minister to them personally and spiritually, strengthening and encouraging them to persevere. In this camp, we'll include Bible stories, games, and most importantly, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we will be ministering to the church planners through prayer walking in different areas of the island and working with the broken families in those communities. And if you would like to partner with me reaching this impoverished community for Christ, that would be greatly appreciated. I would love your partnership through prayer or small financial contributions. I still need to fund the remaining $600 of the trip, with the biggest part being due September 1st. And most importantly, I ask for your guys' prayer. If you will pray, then I believe that God will use me in a mighty way and will do immeasurably more than anyone could ever ask or imagine. And please pray for the local church and church planners that we're going to serve.
You got your mama's gift of
day. Yes. And please pray for spiritual preparation for my team and myself and all the souls that we are going to encounter. Pray that I will be sensitive to leading of the Holy Spirit and that I will be obedient to his voice. And I appreciate all of you guys' prayer and support. I will be in the back somewhere. You'll be able to find me. I'm in a bright yellow dress.
Let me get this away from you. Emma, yeah, go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, an offering is over and above your tithe, and so Emma's going to be back there by that back table. There's another welcome bucket back there, and as she's standing back there, you can just touch her up, put the money in the bucket, put it in her hand, give her an encouraging word, tell her you're going to be praying for whatever you want to say. But Emma, you go on back there right now and stand back there. Come on, I got you. And I got your microphone, too. All right. Jesus is a miracle, really is.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.